What up? It's your boy Tiny Sumo coming to you with another episode. But before I get done with my guest, let me get my plugs out of the way. Go to dirtyclanates.com, check out the product there. You can find them on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, YouTube, and listen to their podcast, the DCE Pirate Radio Podcast on iTunes now. Use the code DCE Tiny Sumo for 10% off in store and check out Elite Fight Nutrition. Sarah from Elite Fight Nutrition is available and you can hit her up on Facebook and Instagram. The links to both of those are in my bio on Facebook and Instagram. Make sure that you go on my bio on both of those. Make sure you're following along. Subscribe on iTunes and YouTube and stab to dab with what your boy is doing. He's dropping the regular content, but I think that's enough of a plug. So let me get down with my guest. Indy, how's it going, bro?
Tony Sumo, what's going on, bro?
Oh, man, I'm just living the dream. You know how it is, one day at a time.
That's exactly right. I understand.
All right, brother. Look, since we last chatted, stuff's happened, you know, exciting things, all that sort of stuff. But you know what I'm most excited to bring up in this chat?
Yo.
Your first fight.
Oh, yeah?
I was super stoked. For those who follow the Instagram page, I put up a post. I made a meme from a photo from a fight from ages ago, and you commented on it saying, is that really you?
Yep, yep.
Now, not many people would have even known that fight. Like, I think I probably only talked to a handful of people still that even would have been there on the day.
Yep.
So then when you told me the reason why you knew that photo, I was stoked.
Yeah, yeah. It's incredible how small the world actually is.
I was very excited to find out that you had had your first fight on that same day.
Yeah, yeah, that was, I can't even remember how old I was. I would have been 16, I'd imagine, something around there. Mm. And, yeah, it was sort of a last-minute thing, and I thought, oh, I may as well do this. And then, yeah, I think I was there all day. It was in Frankston, wasn't it?
It was, yes. Yeah, yeah, it was Frankston. In Frankston. Yep.
Yep.
2011. It was 2011.
I remember it specifically, like I'll never forget it because you threw the guy that high up in the air. I'll never forget it ever for as long as I live.
I went into the fight. I distinctly remember the fight because the first two things he threw a jumping knee and he threw a head kick. And I remember it made me really mad. I'm like, fuck, bro.
Well, it's like, understandable.
It's like the first two things in the fight and you're trying to kill me. Just give us a sec, man. Fuck.
Yeah. So you tried to throw him through the roof.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was cross. I remember being very cross about that.
That's fair call.
But that was a quick fight. But I remember too, like I was busy that day. I had my fight and then I went straight out back and I warmed up my brother for his fight.
Like
I went straight back to the change room and I warmed him up for his fight and I cornered a bunch of guys that day. But that was that's a very fun memory. That's one of the more exciting things I think that for me has sort of come out of these chats. I love the connection and I love the idea of like it being such a small world with fighting.
Yeah, it's crazy. It is absolutely crazy. I couldn't believe that. It blew me away.
I loved it. It made my day. I was stoked. I'm like, that's awesome. That, like, you know, because that's 8 years ago.
Yeah, at least.
And so, yeah, no, I was very pumped. I'm like, oh, that's like he went from that to being on the same card, his first amateur fight, and then fighting in Japan. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you know, like, that's awesome. That was so cool. That was very, very cool to sort of see the evolution of it and to just be like, yeah, no, I was there. I was there. Whether I knew it or not at the time, I was there.
For sure.
Nah, that's awesome. All right, so what do you remember? I want to know what do you remember about the fight?
I remember being terrified. So I fought a guy that he looks like a little Mike Tyson. He had his headgear on. He had no neck at all. He was about half a head, about half a head shorter than me. And his arms were just like tree same. And I looked at him. I thought, there's no way I'm fighting that guy. There's a mistake here. And then we jumped up and, that was, I think one of the, yeah, that was one of the fights that my dad went to. Mm-hmm. And yeah, he did a good job in pumping me up a little bit, trying to make me go psycho. And I made a few faces to try to fake some anger, but it was just, I was terrified. But, I won. So that's the main thing.
Yes.
I remember was the rules were you had to kick at least 8 times per round or something.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Something like that. And, I just kept kicking like constantly. Absolutely. Like just nonstop. It was, he wasn't much of a kicker. He was more of a boxer.
Yeah.
So I just, I went ballistic with kicks and that's all I can remember really. Just kicking and kicking and kicking.
I went back and I found the photos from that fight.
Yeah, I saw that. That's crazy.
So I went back and I did like a deep dive on, Facebook and I found those photos. Yep. So you can hear my little man on the whistle in the background. He's excited.
That's fantastic. That's great.
You could hear him upset a second ago because I tried to take the whistle away and I figured it's probably easier to deal with the sound of the whistle than the sound of than the anger at the fact I've taken the whistle away. But that's just But no, I went through and I found the photos from those fights and you're right, he was at a little nugget.
Yeah, he was. It was really funny. He was shorter than me. One of the only times I fought someone shorter than me. And I was terrified. He was like a little Mike Tyson. But it was funny because I was terrified, but then once I started fighting, I was no worries. Because he couldn't throw much. His arms were big, but they were short. Mm. You know what I mean? So it just goes to show once you get in there, the tides can turn.
Yep, nice. Well, that's cool. Like I said, I was super stoked when that sort of connection came up and I was able to sort of backtrace it. And it was very exciting and it was very cool to think that, like I said, it went from that to Japan, you know,
yeah.
However many years later.
Yeah. Okay. If you had asked me back then, you know, do you think you'll be fighting, you'll fight in Japan in the future, I would have said, oh, like probably not, no chance. I'll probably, after this one, I'll probably give it up. But, but yeah, it just goes to show what can happen.
All right, so I want to talk about Japan as well because Japan is the one destination that I want to go. If I never fight anywhere else, I would like to fight in Japan.
Yep.
Now, you're a massive anime fan as well, but at least a Dragon Ball Z fan.
Massive, massive.
So what was that like for you, being able to sort of culturally immerse yourself over there?
It was incredible. Just one story we had with the anime. Over there, they have these little skill tester machines. So here we've got the claw that picks up the toys. Over there, they've got these like little figurines and you've got like a hook and it's got a like a loop sticky tape to the box and you've got to put in heaps of whatever coins into the machine and you get a chance to pull it and pull it and pull it till it tips over into the thing. And I told the boys that were with me like how much I wanted this figurine and no shit, I reckon we spent, would have been at least $100, $200 at least trying to get this figurine. It probably cost about $20. And we spent hours there. We wasted one day and then we got it closed, but it wasn't working. Then this other Japanese guy came over and got the toy and I wanted to kill myself. I just wanted to jump off a bridge. And then we went back the next day and I said to him, I'm not leaving until I get one of these toys. And then we got one. And there's a couple of pictures on my Instagram of me and Baz. Anyway, if anyone knows Baz, me and Baz going ballistic because we just won this toy. And my trip was made. It was near on better than the fight. Getting that toy.
The skill tester was the highlight.
It was fantastic. And then we walked around the corner and played on one of these massive claws things and it comes down and you pick up a toy that's like big, one of the giant ones. And I won that too. And I just erupted. The whole of Japan knew I was there. It was fantastic. That was a Pokemon.
So culturally, you enjoyed yourself very much over there.
Yeah, for sure. Eating their food was amazing. We were lucky enough to go to heaps of different places. It's amazing what you can just get at like their 7-Elevens. I don't think it was 7-Eleven, but it was that kind of store.
But the equivalent, yeah.
And they had like hot chicken skewers and buns and all sorts of shit. And then we went to, because we were in Osaka, so it's kind of like a business district. Mm-hmm. Not so much like villages and stuff. Just seeing how even them, that there's still little bits here and there where they have like a Zen garden or something.
Mm.
Stuff like that. It was really cool to see.
Now, obviously, moving on to, I guess, the fighting aspect of it.
Yep.
and you being immersed in the fight culture as well, you know, obviously as a professional and things like that, how big was the K1 show? And like, think about some of, I want to talk about some of the guys that were on that show.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So, I couldn't wrap my head around how, like how much they love their fighters. Over there, if you become a fighter, like that's your career. You can actually make a career out of fighting. Like,
yeah,
their fighters are like movie stars here. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it was incredible. Like I had people, if I was walking around with a K1 shirt, I had random people coming up to me asking to take a photo and get my autograph and all sorts of stuff. It was insane.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I've definitely seen that with the Japanese culture and stuff like that. Like I had, you know, Emerson.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Cause I had him on the chat. And like seeing the way that he even now still is like, you see, his partner, Sarah, like they'll be out together and she's like, it's insane. She goes, it's just, you can't go anywhere without someone coming up and bowing and wanting to take a photo. And
yeah.
Ensign fought how long ago? But that's how they are. You know,
yeah.
Like, no, you're one of our fighters. That's it. You're a fighter. Like you're saying, it's
yeah.
essentially a movie star.
They just, yeah, that's exactly right. They just absolutely love the sport. Everybody loves the sport.
Mm.
It's like here, everyone, well, most people like football. Mm. Over there, it's like.
Yeah. And sure. it's a big difference. And like in terms of then as well, like when you get to the show, how big of a difference is, I guess, the crowd aspect? Cause that's one of the things I spoke to a couple of other guys about, like fighting in Japan for the first time.
Yep.
Damian Brown was talking about it when he fought at the last, when he fought on that New Year's Rising card. And he
yep.
goes, I could hear the four Australian blokes in the crowd.
Yeah.
And everyone else was like dead silent.
Yeah.
And I could,
yeah.
hear, and I could hear from like however far back, smash him, Damo.
Yeah.
And like I could hear that clearly from the stands.
Yeah, it was crazy. That was one thing that we had a good chat about, me and Bowie and the boys. I walked out to Thunderstruck and
yep.
I was so pumped up and I'm thinking, yeah, the Japanese crowd will love Thunderstruck. There's a few Aussies that have walked out to it. They'll be cheering, whatever. I come out and it was dead silent. It was absolutely dead silent and I'm trying to pump myself up and JB behind me goes, no, that's all right, keep going. And I'm like, oh yeah, okay, no worries, I'll just ignore it. And I just kept going. But it's not so much like, it felt like a respect thing. It felt
yes.
like they're being respectful to, yeah, not letting me have my moment kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely the silence and the difference, I think it's obviously a very cultural thing, but they do like, they'll golf clap.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like
yeah.
something good happens. You'll even see they're obviously very educated in terms of like grappling and stuff as well. So you'll see it in the MMA where someone will hit a sweep.
Yep.
And the whole crowd just
erupts.
Golf
yeah.
claps. And
yeah,
then they
yeah,
go back
yeah.
to just waiting silently for the next big thing.
Yeah. It was,
but then there's no crazy, there's no like craziness about it.
It was really different because that the Edison Arena that I was in held, I think it was 8,000 or 9,000 people. And
yep.
I expected it to be like loud as hell. Even the main event, two superstars fought and
yeah,
there was a few cheers here and there, but just from obviously diehard fans that couldn't hold it in. But it's not like our main events here would have been louder and there's
yes.
less people. So,
so there you go. So 9,000 people. So what, I mean, crowd perspective wise, how big of a difference is that? Even just looking out into the people, that many people.
Oh, it was at first. Like, looking at all this, cause they did a pre-show run through and
yep.
looking at all the seats and looking around at the stadium, like that was incredible. But to be honest, like as I'm walking out, I had tunnel vision and I didn't get sidetracked. Like it was the same as any fight. I was in the ring and I was just staring at my opponent.
Yeah.
I honestly didn't get too, like, I felt normal. I felt like I was meant to be there and that's just a different arena.
Yeah.
But in saying that, I didn't look around too much. I did
yeah.
just have tunnel vision, and look straight ahead. But, it felt good. It felt awesome.
But that's you being a professional as well. Like you're saying, it's going to be
yeah,
no
true.
Different than to you walk into the ring, you know, whether it be here in Melbourne or whether it be in Japan, you're still just going there and the task at hand is still the task at hand.
Yeah, I think one of the first things you get, you start to get over as a professional fighter is the feel of the crowd. So at first for me, hearing my name getting called out made me extremely nervous, and then seeing the crowd made me extremely nervous. I think the crowd's one of the first things you get over, and then you like hearing your name, and then you enjoy the walk, and then it's, you know, when you touch gloves, that's when you get super nervous.
Yeah, okay. So then once in the ring as well, obviously, that spinning heel kick.
Yeah.
Oh.
I was gutted. I think I hit him with the flat of my foot, not my heel.
But beautiful kick regardless. It was such a nice kick. It was really nice.
We'd worked on that heaps. Just to express myself, and Bowie said, you know, let's try to express ourselves a bit in this fight. And then I think he called it. He actually called, he says spin it up. Whenever he says spin it up, it means that they're throwing stuff and then their hands down once they throw it. So throw something and then spin.
Yeah.
So I did that and it landed.
Yeah, it just like the timing of it was beautiful.
It was a beautiful
kick.
It looked pretty fast. I was pretty happy with it.
It was a very nice kick. All right, so in terms of, I guess, you know, comparative fights, right? You know, venues, experiences, things like that. Where would you rank this? Where would you rank fighting in K1 in Japan? Because to me, that is the mecca.
The pinnacle.
For me, regardless of what anyone else says, like for me to fight on that stage, that's always been, K1's always been the biggest one for me.
Yeah.
What was it like for you though?
Yeah, absolutely. It was second to none. They just, every little detail that happened was incredible. To the itinerary, to the weigh-in was incredible. The weigh-in was amazing. Everyone was so excited to see the fighters and line up and take all the pictures. Like, we're all in suits. It was sick. I really, really enjoyed it. But, in terms of the biggest promotion, that is by far the best I've ever felt. And the most like a rock star.
Yeah, for sure. But I mean, that's the thing as well. Like you said, a lot of it comes down to the fact that you're in Japan and they treat their fighters completely differently. But the process itself, you know, big spectacle stuff for, like you said, press conference, weigh-in, pre-fighter, video packages, things like that, all of it.
Yeah, for sure. It was, and they definitely look after you. Like I had the person that was looking after me, his name was Toshiki. And after the weigh-in, because we didn't know, you know, where to get our right food or anything, he organized fruit and these little energy pack things. And he organized everything for me and gave it to me and made sure I was okay. It was incredible. I honestly felt like a rock star.
Nice. All right. So Japan, massive trip, obviously massive accomplishment for yourself to be able to go there and fight, like we said, on the biggest stage in terms of combat sports.
In terms of,
like kickboxing for me, I'm a K1 diehard. Like I'm a diehard from that rule set anyway. Like golden era K1 stuff as well. I grew up on that stuff. I grew up watching that stuff. So it was very cool to see one of the local lads on the big show. It was very cool for me anyway, just to live vicariously like that anyway.
For sure.
But it's even cooler now. The moment had been made cooler.
Yeah.
Knowing that I was there for the birth of your fighting career.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's very cool for me. It was like I've run with that moment. It's very cool to be able to live vicariously through that and go, oh, shit, I was there, didn't even know it. You know,
for
like
sure.
That little cool moment has been very, very cool for me.
Yeah, and it's crazy. It's crazy for me to realize now how far I've come since then.
Absolutely, man. You've gone, well, that's the thing. Take into account, for if nothing else, you've gone from fighting in a ring in a basketball stadium.
Yeah.
To fighting in Japan on the biggest kickboxing show that's ever been. Like K1, you talk to any diehard, you talk to any like old heads and stuff, like K1
Everyone
is the promotion.
K1
is the promotion. That's very special. That's a very cool, I guess, story arc timeline for that.
Yeah, for sure. It's cool to be able to say.
Yeah. All right. Sweet. Now, you know what else I want to talk about? You've gone and started a podcast.
I have. Yeah. I'm still kind of working it out, to be honest, but it's called The Beast Kid. or Talking Shit with a Beast Kid, I should say.
Yep.
You can search it on Spotify. I'm on Spotify. And I also share it, the links on my Facebook, just Indigo on Facebook. So yeah, we just basically talk a lot of shit, really.
Yep. No, that's fine.
Yeah. It's good fun. And we do recaps of, the fight shows as well, the local fight shows, which is always fun. The last one I did with Baz is hilarious. He's the funniest bloke. But yeah, it's cool fun.
That's awesome. So what made you want to do that?
I don't know. Well, I think I just like talking shit, really. And I watch a lot of Joe Rogan's things and I just think, yeah, I want to do that. I do just want to talk crap. And a lot of my friends are shit talkers too, so I think it'll make for some good content.
Just get together and talk shit. Now, like you said, I mean, you're still working out, but here's the hot tip, though. What? So I've been doing this, what are we in, March? I've been doing this 9 months.
Yep.
I still have no fucking idea what I'm doing.
Yeah. Right? I just need to get it out there. I need to just start. I'm just going to start.
That is the best way to do it because that's exactly how I started mine and that's how everyone starts theirs as well for the most part. It started on a whim. It started with an idea and then you just follow that up with passion and it's sort of just like a self-feeding fire.
Yeah, for
it
sure.
It just sorts itself out.
Yeah.
We started my one when Yoel Romero missed weight.
Ah, right. Okay.
And I messaged a mate who told me that I'd been on his podcast and he said, you should start a podcast. And I went, I don't know, man.
Yeah.
How the fuck do you do that? What do I need? I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And then that happened. I went, fuck, we should talk about that. Anyway, yeah, let's do that. And that's what it's been.
The so, birth of it.
And that's the thing. I still have no fucking clue. I've done like 260 videos or something.
Yeah.
Still got no clue. Still trying to work it out. So
it's fun though.
It's awesome fun. It's grass practice. And it's the other thing as well. It's a fun outlet. Outside of everything else. And like I said, you're already talking shit. You're already chatting with your mates. Why not just put a microphone there?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And as I said, we all like it, getting together and talk shit anyway. So I may as well put it out there for everyone else to listen to.
And people like it anyway. And I've even found that I'll have blokes at work come in and I'll be listening to a podcast. They'll be like, what's this? I'll be like, oh, it's blah, 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 whatever. They go, you just listen to people talk. And I go, yeah. I listen to people talk about stuff that I would want to talk about.
Yeah. It's amazing how many people don't actually know what a podcast is or what it's about. I shouldn't say it's amazing. It's just that it's not out there as much yet.
Generationally, and the way that I've tried to explain it, especially to older heads, way that I've tried to explain it, I'm like, picture a radio station. But the only stuff on the radio station is shit that I want to hear. I don't have to listen to some ex-footballer talk about bullshit in, you know, fucking social media world with some failed comedian and a reality TV bitch. I don't have to listen to any of that. I can get fucking two fighters or I'll listen to a bunch of ones with comedians and it's just them chatting shit. Do you listen to Jack Slack?
No, I haven't seen that one.
So Jack Slack does amazing combat sport breakdowns. So the way that I thought my podcast would work, right? So here's how you learn about the evolution of podcasts.
Yep.
The way that I thought mine would work, I thought it was going to be a really technical breakdown.
Yep.
I thought that I'd like once a week or twice a week or whatever it was by myself or with a friend get together and we'd technically break down fights or news that had happened in the MMA world and whatever.
Yep.
And then I quickly realized that that's not my skill set.
Yeah.
My skill set is chatting shit with people.
Yeah.
On a personal level. And so I went, oh, fuck, I'll just do that. That's more enjoyable anyway. I don't have to think about it. I don't plan anything out. We'll just talk.
Yeah, for sure. The ones that I've done, I started just talking shit on my own and talking funny stuff. And then I interviewed my trainer and then I did a recap with Baz. And then I interviewed massage therapist.
Yeah.
So I'm just doing random stuff every now and then just to see what I like, see what feedback I get back. And it's good fun so far.
Awesome. No, it's really cool. And it's cool to see people go out and do that stuff. Like I truly believe it's fun to get behind people who put their passion into things. I love getting behind people. Like I have so much joy when I see my friends from Dirty Clean Eats. When I see those guys kicking goals, it makes me genuinely happy.
Happy, yeah, yeah.
When
sure.
When I see that, you know, they just brought out a new product. They're in a bunch of stores. They're selling through a distributor in Vic and a distributor in Queensland, and it makes me genuinely happy. So it made me genuinely happy when I saw you'd start a podcast. I went, fuck yeah. That's yeah. awesome. That's really yeah. cool. He's going to get out there. He's going to talk to people. He's going to do something he really enjoys. And why would you not?
Yeah, exactly. Why would you not?
Why would you not? I think that's the big thing, man. It's if it makes you happy, do it and fucking go with it. And I'm excited. I'm excited to see who you get on. You've obviously got industry knowledge. You've obviously got all the connections.
Yeah. That,
it makes for interesting chats.
Yeah, and I think as well, because I've been in those darker kind of places that fighters can get to.
Mm-hmm.
I can bring another aspect to it as well, to different conversations. So I'm interested to see where I can tag it or where it goes.
That's a big thing too, for yourself to be able to bring that across to other fighters, to be able to go, oh, fuck, okay.
Yeah,
there's someone else. People. There you go. There's someone else that feels that. I'm not the only person that feels that way before, during, after a fight, whatever it may be. You know, it's okay to feel that way. Or deal with it my way. Or maybe I feel different, but maybe me feeling different isn't a bad thing anyway.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
That's awesome. I'm stoked, dude. I'm really excited.
Thanks,
bro. The whole thing's been very exciting. I look forward to you getting more guests on and seeing more content come out. Obviously, you got a fight coming up as well. I just realized we haven't talked about that.
Yeah, yeah, I do.
Yeah. So the fight coming up, Warriors Way, yeah?
Yes, main event, Warriors Way, fighting Chris Nguyen. Nice. From Eight Blades.
Nice.
It's for a WMC Victorian title too, so that's very exciting.
Beautiful. Bit more bling. So full tie rules?
Full tie rules, yep.
Nice. Okay. So don't get your face cut up.
Yep.
Just don't do that.
Yep.
Because later on when you start adding videos to your podcast,
yeah,
you just, you know, you want to keep that pretty face.
I've heard chicks dig scars though, so
that is true. That is true. Here's the thing: I've been out of the game for so long, I'm not aware of those. That's what it is, you know. But at
the same time, I don't want heaps of stitches though. Look, I've got I think it was something like 11 stitches the day before my son was born.
Yep.
So in all my pictures, I've got my eyebrows all stitched up with radio, and it's not a good look.
Oh, look, I mean, it just, you're out there fighting off ninjas or something at the hospital. That's a cool story later on. You can tell.
For sure. Whoop, did I lose you?
You still there?
Yeah, I got you.
All good. Sweet. All right. Well. Dude, thank you very much for coming. I'm looking forward to your fight. I'm looking forward to more podcasts.
Yeah.
You're doing a fantastic job, mate, and I want you to keep it up.
Thank you.
And this chat's been very enjoyable. Like I said, I was stoked. I geeked out a little bit on it. I went, fuck yeah, that's really cool. It's fun. It's fun to go back on those little memories. I just put that picture up because it was a fun picture, but for something else to come out of it like that,
yeah, it's nuts.
That's where these chats have been really fun. It's the same thing, you know, I realized, and I've spoken about it with him before, one of my best mates, Bev, who is one half of Dirty Clean Eats, I was there for his MMA debut.
Oh, yeah.
I cornered another bloke on the same card. It was the first, I want to say it was like the first sanctioned MMA show in SA at the time.
Oh, wow.
And we didn't realize that we'd been there on the same night together.
Yeah,
it was only years later. He put same deal. He put up a photo. I went, oh, do you fight at the Febby? He went, yeah. I went, no, here's a photo of me cornering a bloke for the opening, you know, Muay Thai
how
fight.
How cool
of the night. Is that? So very cool stuff. It's always very cool to have those little connections through fighting.
Yeah, it's insane. It was good for me to put in perspective how far I've come too. Like I said before, that's awesome. Just for, you know, myself
to go for context from a few hundred people at a basketball court. To 8,000
in an arena. Yeah, that's insane.
Awesome. That's awesome, man. That's very cool. All right, dude, look, before we wrap it up, you know how it is. I like to give people a chance to get any plugs, anything like that out of the way. So anyone you want to mention now, and obviously plug the podcast, tell people where they can find it, and we'll tag that in later on as well, man.
Yeah, pretty much just visit, my podcast, Talking Shit with the Beast Kid. You can see it on Spotify, listen to it on Spotify. Or just click the links that I share on my Facebook. That's pretty much it. Always a big shout out to Sarah Knappel, legend, Elite Fight Nutrition.
Of course.
She's She's a ripper.
Yep.
Getting me through my wake up right now, actually.
She's beautiful.
Doing a great job.
She does a fantastic job. In fact, I'm doing the opposite. I'm trying to turn myself into a tiny gorilla person.
So I'm doing
the opposite with my food with her. I didn't realize how bad my nutrition was.
Yeah, it's incredible.
I was unaware that I was eating very poorly. I was also unaware that I was extremely dehydrated and that I was killing myself with caffeine. But Sarah pointed all of those things out for me. So that's been a godsend and working very well on that as well.
She's a gun.
Doing her job fantastic, as are you, mate. Like I said, thank you very much for coming on for the chat.
Very enjoyable. Anytime.
As always, mate, I'll be at the fight as well, so I look forward to seeing you there.
Oh, awesome.
And we will talk soon.
Beautiful, mate. Thanks for having me.
No worries. Cheers, brother.
Cheers, brother.
See you, bye.